Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys on the 4th of July. How are you feeling, Trevor? You ready to get some partying in today? Have some good
food? I'm feeling free.
Are you?
Feeling free, John.
You got any plans for the day?
You know, I'm living down in Florida, so we do a lot of...
Every
you know,
day is like the 4th down there. Huh?
Well, I wasn't about to say that, but we do a lot of stuff on the beach. Like, we do the fireworks off the beach. And
yeah, rub it in. It's cool.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be watching them from a boat for the first time in my life this year.
On
so,
the ocean?
Well, the Gulf, you know, that's that thing.
It's, no
you know,
deal.
I'm just, sure. Okay. I mean, you asked, man. Just for clear, you asked.
That's true. And I'm not going to tell you what my 4th of July plans are because they will pale in comparison. But one of our 4th of July plans is to talk about two of the better defensive linemen in next year's class. Did you see that transition? Vita Vea. I don't know. I looked up trying to see how to pronounce his name.
It's so, Vea, I believe.
And I could not find it anywhere.
I believe it's Vita Vea.
Vita Vea from Washington, who is a monster of a human being. Their site has him listed at Washington's team site has him listed at 6'5", 332. You guys know I tend to lean on NFL Draft Scout. They've got him at 6'4", and 1/8", and 344 pounds. He's a massive human being. And then Lowell Lutalele, I said that one right for sure, who NFL Draft Scout has at around 6'1", a little over 6'1", and 320 pounds. So we're talking about two massive human beings that would probably be closer to your stereotypical nose tackle size than a penetrating upfield three technique type. But remember, not all three techniques are created the same, and not all of them are asked to do all of the same things. So I think that, you know, Vea, for example, is going to play three tech probably this year at Washington, even though he's bigger than the guy that will play nose more than likely, or they will alternate. They always alternate. But Greg Gaines, their other defensive lineman, and then last year who was there that was in the, Elijah Qualls, was a late round pick, I believe, and he was in their group too. And he and Vita Vea actually look very similar. Vea, the one of the biggest things I noticed with him is his arms are. If he's really 6'5 or even 6'4, his arms are incredibly short for his height.
There's no way he's 6'5.
I don't think he's 6'5 either, yeah. I think he's 6'4 at most. But his arms, yeah, very short arms. That's one of the only. If I'm going to pinpoint issues with Vea, I'm going to say that because he has such short arms, there's not a lot of extension when he does gain control at the point of attack. So he gets body to body with guys, and it's easier for guys to get their hands inside on him, or even if they don't have great control of him, just to slow him down enough in terms of being able to detach quickly and then make plays himself. So that's one of the reasons why I think, and obviously his substantial girth and size. He is he's a pretty good space eater. But this NFL today doesn't really call for a ton of two gapping, and you know, he's hard to move at the point of attack, I think, but I do think he's limited a little bit with how short his arms are, and even though he's a pretty good athlete, it's hard for him to really employ all that power and explosiveness he has because he can't always gain clean control of his opponents at the point of attack, I think.
Yeah, I think he's pretty explosive for a guy that you would think, you know, you have the stereotype that he's just a nose tackle, you know, the inside, you got those like Hawaiian or like Polynesian type nose tackle guys that we'll get to that and talk about that in Utah a little bit. But I think Vea's pretty dang explosive for the stereotype that he is. And we saw you see him on tape doing like little stunt blitzes to the outside. There's a couple of plays where he was just straight up edge rushing as an outside guy. You know, he's not really making any moves. He's basically just doing a bull rush. But you see him be placed out there all the time. He's actually got good short area quickness. And I think he's got a lot of power too. And, you know, with both of these guys, the phrase is point of attack. That is with both of these guys, wherever they play, whether it is at a true nose tackle, possibly a three tech player, maybe even a 3-4 defensive end kind of a look. It's all about the point of attack. It's about getting the leverage, standing your ground, finding out where the running back's going, if it's going to him, throwing your blocker off, which we'll get to that with Lotu Lele. I saw you posting a couple of clips of him on your Twitter timeline, and making a stop. I remember, I think I was watching the Cal game with Vea, and they were trying to make a goal line stand at Cal. And I think Cal ran the ball all three times at the goal line, and I'm pretty sure Vea stopped him all three times because they continued to try to
run. I didn't watch that game, so I'll have to find that.
They continued to try to run the ball at him, and the commentator was just like, and there's Vea again. Like, I don't know why you keep running the ball towards him. But so and I think that's what it is about these. And I think Vea has he's got a lot of hype going into this season. I think the reason is because I think he moves pretty well for a guy with the stereotype that has this. You know, a guy that you think you could play at a nose tackle. And that was the same thing with and it's kind of a bad example because Vea's talked about as possibly a first-round pick. And Stevie Tuikolavatu from the Bucks was picked in the seventh round. But, like, that's what they really liked about him when they picked him in the seventh round. And that was something that Bucks GM Jason Light talked about with him when they drafted him, is that this is a guy who you look at him and you look at his strength and what he can do and you go, all right, that's a nose tackle. But then you watch him move and he moves really well for a guy with that size. And you go, okay. Because I think the Bucks had a fourth round grade on Tuikolavatu. So it's just stuff like that, that when you kind of have the raw strength to be able to play nose, but you can move a little bit, that's what really gets you thrust into that. Because you and I talked about this a little bit before we went on the podcast, that we don't really know how high these guys can get picked. Because if teams just view them as true nose tackles, how high do you take a run stop nose tackle? You know,
remember Jerron Reed a couple years? I mean, he was such a good player, but there's only a certain value to what he does.
Owning the point of attack is great, but it's you kind of got to have more than that, and Vea might have a little bit more than that. So
I agree. He gives you some juice you don't expect from a 340-pound man. It's Washington's had a bunch of these guys, these massive dudes. I mean, Qualls I didn't think really fit that bill, but he was often billed as that. But then when I got into his tape, I didn't really see that. Although I still don't know many guys his size that hit a spin move like Qualls does, which was one thing that he did that was pretty impressive, even though I didn't like his tape overall. But, yeah, Vea does that as well. And then Danny Shelton from Washington, too, was another guy that for his size, which was massive, 300, I think he was 345 or something like that.
Yeah, Danny Shelton's a big boy.
Yeah, he can really move, and he showed that this past year in Cleveland, had a really nice second year after struggling a little bit as a rookie. I think that they found those types for sure. And these guys, you know, Vea is another one that reminds me of Shelton in that way because he does move really well side to side and is more of a fluid mover in space than you would expect for a guy that's huge. And I think he does that even better than Lotu Lele. We'll get to that in a little bit. But how much of an impact is Vea going to have as a pass rusher? I think I've keep coming back to those arms, but I think they limit him a little bit. But also, he's not really refined very much in his plan of attack. But the power rush, oh man, yeah, it's definitely there. I think he can get up under guys' pads and really drive them back and be disruptive, generally speaking, I think. I don't know whether it's going to be he's going to be a guy that puts up numbers consistently as a pass rusher. He's very simple as a pass rusher, very kind of plain right now. I think he can add a lot to his attacks because he does move really well at his size. But again, longer levered guys are really going to get into his pads and be able to fend him off a little bit. He's going to have to work to edges, I think, as a result. So I think he can do that, though. I think he has that type of ability. Whether he's I doubt he's going to be a true three down player in the NFL, but he gives you. He doesn't hurt you, I don't think, if he's on the field as a pass rusher. He's not going to kill you.
Well, that's true. Is a 3-4 defensive end the position that he would get drafted highest as?
I don't know. I don't think so.
See, I don't know either.
I don't think so because I think that position, you know, to be an edge setter against the type of player you're going to face on the outside, which are typically tackles with longer arms, you're going to have to be able to move laterally and really get your, I mean, arm extension's big out there. And whether it's one arm longer than two, whatever it might be, as a run defender, it really matters. As a pass rusher, I think for edge guys, it can be overrated. But as a run defender, I think it really matters. I don't think he would ever be in that type of a situation. I bet he's an interior guy only in the NFL. I bet he plays nose tackle, but it wouldn't shock me if he's able to shed some weight. To me, he looks like he can lose weight, right? I mean, I think he has a lot in his midsection.
Yeah.
He's a really weird frame. Like, if you saw his frame, you'd be like, okay, I get why this guy's playing in college football because he's big, but I bet he doesn't do anything in the NFL if you just looked at his frame. Because yeah. It's kind of – sloppy's a bad word, but it's kind of – it's just really centered, like a lot of center mass. Like, he, mm-hmm. his arms and his legs no, don't I get necessarily you.
That's a lot
huge.
Of times – That's a lot of times the case with these guys, though. So I wonder, yeah, they'll probably get on a lot of better, a different kind of diet for whatever.
Like if he's 320, does he lose that much effectiveness in terms of power? I don't, you know.
I mean, probably not. I mean, Chuy like Kolomatsu said that he lost a bunch of weight mm-hmm. during the process of what he was doing. And I think it was probably because they told him, like, look, man, you got a lot of bad weight on you. You know, right. you were massive in college, and it really helps when you're in right. college because people don't know how to know how to counter you being at a higher weight. But at the NFL, they know how to counter you being right. higher at a higher right. weight. So, that could be something that comes up with him.
But I still like this guy. I mean, I think that he's one of those day two picks that is going to make your team better when he's on the field. And, again, he might be in a rotation. You might be talking about, you know, moving four guys through your interior D-line or whatever it might be. But he can play both spots, I think. He has experience in both spots. He even plays on the edge a little bit at Washington. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's looking for. Mentally, I think he's going to be even more developed. I like his game a good bit. I think that he's a pretty tough customer, too. Like, he'll bring it physically. In fact, every guy we've talked about will bring it physically. Lutulele, man, dude, against Arizona State.
Let's talk about him.
Did you watch that game against Arizona State?
I watched your clips dudes. First, actually. He's straight up, like, putting people in body bags,
that,
dude.
That left guard got put on the ground at least five or six times in that game. I mean, just straight one-on-one, 1v1 manhandled.
Crazy.
He's powerful.
With one arm.
Yeah,
with
one arm. One time. Yeah, he's powerful. He finds leverage points. He gets his hands inside of you. He's relentless. I love him as a point. Again, you said this before, and I think you're so right with these two guys. It is much more about point of attack and disruption probably than it is about upfield bursts and what they can do behind the line of scrimmage in terms of production. Like, I don't think either of these guys at any point in their career will be big-time sack artists. They're not going to have a ton of sacks. They're not going to have a ton of tackles for loss. Those are the kind of players I really value at the interior defensive line spots. I don't think that's quite either of these guys, but they can be disruptive as pass rushers. They can be disruptive, I think, as run defenders, but both are really at their best when they're asked to just hold the point of attack, read your keys, win your gap, establish yourself inside, some leverage, some hand placement technique, things like that. I like all those things about Lutulele. I think from a cerebral perspective, from a technical perspective, he plays really well. Sometimes you'll see his pad levels start to like swell up a little bit. I think Vea has this problem too, but there's enough examples of him playing pretty low in leverage for me to think that it's just a consistency thing and not an ability thing with Lutulele. But I really like this game. I think that he is variety as a pass rusher. I just don't think he's a great athlete. I don't think he's going to make a lot of plays in space. I don't think he has a ton of range. You'll see him break into the backfield. You know, somebody tries to reach him. He gets play side on them. He gets upfield, and he just can't finish. He just doesn't have the range. He doesn't have the tackling radius. Like, he doesn't finish a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage, and I think that's just going to get harder for him in the NFL.
Yeah, he's got fun tape just when you know kind of like who he is, and I was doing a little bit of back reading with him when I was looking up just his stats too right before his tape. And him and I think five or six other guys on that defensive line are all some kind of like Polynesian descent. Mm. And actually, like, they call themselves the Polynesian pipeline at Utah for like that front four. And it actually, I mean, it becomes like a brand. It becomes like an attitude for these guys. Mm. One of them was saying, I can't remember which one, when Lotulele, but he was saying, you know, like, a lot of us are from like warrior descent and like prideful, like pride is such a big part of our bloodline. And like, when Utah started collecting, you know, people from Polynesia are like close to our cultures, like it was something that we could latch onto. It was an easy way for us to kind of like feel at home. And so that's we see a lot of like really cool, I guess, production, or we get to see a lot of these guys get the most out of absolutely who they are, because Utah has kind of created this culture where these guys can feel comfortable. They're basically like owning an entire pipeline of these kinds of players on the defensive line. And it's really awesome to see, because these guys are, you know, you just watch Latulele's tape and he is straight up owning people. And I think there's so much raw strength in what a lot of these guys have. And I think Latulele's got good – he's got great leverage. I'll say that for sure. Being the size that he is, again, yeah, kind of like you said, don't know how much of a stat guy he'll ever be. But that doesn't really matter. Yeah, it just doesn't. So these are just the kind of guys that we have on our hands. Now, I think that Lotulelei is much more of a – he's got to kind of be like a nose tackle, or – I don't know if anybody plays either of those one or two tech positions. You know, I don't see Lotulelei at any point getting any farther outside or towards the edge than a three tackle. Mm-hmm. And that's even like if he does that, because it's just like who he is. But
one big problem I saw with him, he did not handle double teams well at all in the games that I watched. Which is a little bit unusual, because he's so powerful.
You gotta chew up blocks. That's not great.
And if he's really 320, which NFL draft scout has him at, you know, and he does have that 6'1", you know, they have him at 6'1". I think he looks at least 6'2", but they have him at that 6'1" size, and, you know, you should be low and leveraged, and you should be able to corkscrew and turn, you know, kind of turn your shoulders and eat up those blocks, reduce your surface area. He just doesn't do any of that well right now. And I think overall he processes blocks well, but he rarely sees double teams coming. They'll catch him. They'll find leverage points on him. He gets washed out of there. He does have great leverage initially, but then as he gets into that block, he'll kind of stand up straighter, which makes me think maybe he has a harder time keeping or maintaining that flexibility in his lower half. But he'll start to stand up a little bit, and he loses a little bit of that push because of that, I think. And when he's facing double teams, it's a problem, because as he starts to stand up, more surface area becomes available for offensive linemen, for somebody coming on his edge, and then he can kind of get washed down a little bit. And so that's my concern with him. If you play him as a true nose tackle, and
you got to be able to take up blocks, man.
Yeah, you it's I part think, of the job. So I think he's a starting — I think he can play three technique. I think he's early downs, he's probably going to be a guy that's more useful against the run as a three technique. You know, for a system that doesn't ask their three techniques to get upfield and just penetrate all the time. You know, we talked about that with Aaron Donald. We talked about that with Nick Fairley. A lot of guys, you know, Geno Atkins. Like, for a team that it's going to ask their guys to stay at home a little bit more, sit in their gaps a little bit more, play a little bit more of a conservative point of attack style of defense, I think Lotulelei could be a great fit as a three technique. So it's all about kind of what you're asking him to do. I wrote a piece on Fletcher Cox that I believe is coming out today. And I was, you know, his tackles for loss are never what Aaron Donald or Geno Atkins is. But he has that athleticism, I think, but he's just not asked to play upfield in that type of an aggressive style in Jim Schwartz's defense as often as Atkins and Donald are. So if Lotulelei's asked — no, he's not Fletcher Cox, because Fletcher Cox is like a freak athlete. And again, I said, I think Lotulelei's biggest struggle is his range, lateral agility, change of direction. He doesn't really have that. Even if he gets a step — I think his upfield burst is pretty good, but even if he gets a step on a guy, I don't think he really has that flexibility to bend back to the quarterback or anything like that. So I think he's a little bit limited in that way. But again, this is a guy, he has starting ability in the NFL. I don't know whether in most defensive lines that rotate guys to some extent. You know, I was actually watching Fletcher Cox, and I was shocked at how often Philadelphia rotated him out, rotated other guys out. And I don't know if I would say that should happen for Fletcher Cox, but that does happen a lot of places in the NFL for a lot of these defensive linemen. And I think that Lotulelei could be one of those guys that plays, you know, 60-70% of your snaps at a pretty high level, but eventually you're getting him out of there and you're getting somebody else in there. But he's ready, I think. Like, I don't think there's great upside here, but I think he's ready and he can make an impact right away. The ways I would say he needs to improve: I think he has to get better at recognizing and employing better technique when double teams come his way, because I think he has the ability to do it, but I just think he's got to be a little bit better technically at doing that. But 1v1, man, reach blocks, forget it. Like, he fought those off so well, using his hands, continuing to move laterally. I was impressed by a lot of what I saw from him, but over and over again, it just showed up that those double teams gave him issues, which would worry me just having him locked in as a full-time nose when he could see a good bit of those double teams at that spot.
So, like, quick with the draft mindset, just for people listening to the podcast, like, where do we touched on it a little bit earlier, yeah. but, like, where would you see these guys kind of getting drafted? Because we're hearing their names early, especially Vea, and he's kind of getting near the top of these interior defensive linemen list, knowing, like, what he does and the position he plays, like, how limited will his draft stock be in that sense? Because that too is that goes into a lot of what we talk about early on. Is we talk about the potential of how high guys can go, and a lot of these guys might be good at what they do, but sometimes their position just doesn't call for a position that gets drafted high.
Yeah, I think Vea has some upside. Like I said, if he loses weight, I would be really interested to see what he looks like at 320 or something like that. Because I think he's a really good athlete, and I think that he doesn't have like a ton of length, so I think that he could lose some weight and probably be fine. I don't think it would be any good. Like, I think it's weight that he can afford to lose for sure. So I would love to see him at that size. I would love to see how he moves at that size, and maybe his production picks up a little bit. Now, he was fairly productive, but again, keep in mind, I watched him and I saw a lot of cleanup things, but the talent level around him was great, and it's going to drop off a little bit this year, but Gaines is still a really good guy on the inside with him. Still have Connor O'Brien on the edge, so they still have some talent there on the defensive side of the ball. But so I like Vea's upside a little bit more, to say that right now he's probably a day two guy. If he tests really well at his size, you could see a team falling in love with the upside, maybe if you get his hands a little bit better and more refined. I think he's a little bit raw from a pass rushing technique point, but Lutulele, I think he's closer to a finished product, and I think that you're probably talking about a solid day two guy that shouldn't fall off much from that. I would probably feel comfortable with him in round two, because I think he does some really good things and is that type of he's aggressive, he's physical, he uses his hands and his length really well. If you can teach him to take on doubles, he's gonna be a monster against the run. He just needs to get that pad level a little more consistent and learn to take on doubles a little bit better. So if he improves in those two ways, he's gonna be a monster against the run in the NFL. But as a pass rusher, I don't think he has moves. Like, he'll do swims, he'll rip, but he's way more creative than Vea right now. He's just not a terrific athlete. So he'll often put blockers in tough spots and flush the quarterback. He just hardly ever finishes. He just has a really hard time, continuing all the way out to a finish, whether it's bending back or changing directions once the quarterback sees him coming and moves. So I think he's going to be disruptive. I think he can play on those passing downs, so I value that. I think that, yeah, I would like Lutulele in the second round. I would feel good about it if I could get him in the second round right now. And I don't think there's a ton of unknown, but again, those little areas he can improve in, I think, as a run defender, I think could help elevate his stock and lock him into that into a top 50, top 60 type selection. That would be my thoughts anyway. I don't know if you agree or not.
No, yeah, that was about. I just wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on it. I think I'm lower on Lutulele than you are, but we're basically relatively the same on Vea. Yeah. So a lot of things to certainly look at in their tape coming up this year. But I just I wanted to make sure that people realize that even when we praise a guy, sometimes it does. We could really like a guy for his position, but that doesn't always mean that he's going to go first round. There's certainly a value to each position in the NFL. Playing edge rusher, playing left tackle, playing quarterback. Those are, if you're good, and even if you're not good, we've seen that even if people might think you are good, you could go as high as anywhere in the top five. But even positions like this, where we're looking at more refined guys who are really good at what they do at a nose tackle position, just doesn't get drafted high. Because it's more situational. So just wanted to make sure we cleared that up, because I know a lot of people of different varying degrees of following the draft definitely listen to this podcast. So
right. Yeah, very true. It's a value thing, really. I mean, you can get those type of guys just aren't as valuable because they don't create the most valuable defensive players are going to create negative plays for an offense. I think those are the guys that really should be high up on the board. these guys both play next to guys that we'll probably be talking about at some point, too. Greg Gaines over at Washington, I think, is draft eligible. And then Lowell Lutulele plays next to Filippo Mokafisi. I'm pretty sure I said that one right, actually.
That was close.
Who's a redshirt senior. So These guys both are talented too, and we may be talking about them at some point too. We just, there's so many names, man. There's a lot of names on the interior that at least around right now. We got to talk about Daron Payne and Derek Nnadi tomorrow, maybe. Still got the Ohio State guys. They have Draymond Jones and Michael Hill, and I think there's another guy there too. Reggie McKenzie over at Tennessee, and your boy Dalen Mack. A couple other guys have been thrown our way that looked interesting that we'll try and check out. So it's fun, man. We got a lot of time. We got a lot of a couple more shows on the interior defensive line class, and a really important group, I think, because last year's group really left a lot to be desired in terms of depth, and then there were question marks kind of at the top. So this class bumping the stock back up is going to be big. So I'm excited to get to the rest of these guys. And hope you enjoy your 4th of July, my friend. Enjoy being out on the boat.
You as well.
Won't lie, I'm a little bit jealous, but that's how it rolls sometimes.
I'll come into the next show a little sunburned for you. So
sounds good. I can deal with that. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about the interior defensive line class 2018 NFL Draft. As always, baby, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know-How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.